Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Hey, Matthew.
Yeah, dude.
Let's esket it, bro.
Esket it.
Saw. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 278. This is Jorge.
They call me artist. They call me idol, but you can call me Matthew.
Maybe.
Sir Matthew.
Have you been knighted?
Of D.
Officially?
Yeah.
By who? You don't get to be fucking Matthew of D.
Yeah.
I knight you with the
D. Yeah, he did. He laid his dick on each shoulder and then bopped me in the head. And he said, I hereby knight you, Matthew of D.
Okay.
D-D-D-D-D-D-D.
And I am Brett.
Yeah, I mean, you
can't. I don't knight myself.
You can't. Well, I mean, you could. Just slap it over
only
your shoulder.
Only when I'm alone. When I do that.
Yeah. I don't knight myself.
Sling it over each shoulder.
Oh, fuck.
He did this last time, though. He's done it. Many episodes now where he has fantastic intros and
you know
leaves
because
you leave me nothing.
You don't like the same old shit, and then so if I just stand here and I'm like, this is Matt, it's the same old shit.
So you took my constructive criticism, upped your game, and now I look like a fool.
Yeah, so step it up.
Yeah, fool.
Step
now I look
up.
Like a fool.
Yeah,
dude.
See, but that's just the thing is it's like it's hard to follow it. There's a podcast I listen to where the three hosts each take a bit of the intro. And the guy in the middle does like such big elaborate ones that it always just sounds terrible when the guy at the end does it. Oh, it's Glass Joe and King Hippo.
Totally. Totally.
So, I mean, you're doing the same bit here.
Yeah.
Are you stealing a bit from another show?
Bro, our whole life is stolen.
That's not
bits.
True.
No, we have our bits stolen. But no, that's not it at all. I'm just shaking it up a little bit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how's it going, fellas, other than America's crumbling to its very core?
Yeah, that's been happening. Everything's cool. Everything's good.
It's good. It's cool. It's cool, bro.
Scooter got stolen. Got it back.
Oh, how did that shake out? Because you called me last week and you said, bruh.
I called you. I'm like, bro, I have no idea what the fuck is going on right now. Because like, I woke up and I was going to a doctor's appointment. I go out to get on my scooter and it's not there. And I'm like,
you're like, bro, where's my scooter?
I'm like, yeah, bro, where's my scooter?
And his first instinct is to call me.
No, I called him later. Like,
oh, okay.
Cause like, I can't find it. And I'm looking around and I call Alia. She hasn't moved it. Didn't take it to work. And I'm like, did I sleepwalk? You know,
scoot.
Is there some somnambulance going on here? And like, I moved it. And yeah, so on the way back from the doctor's appointment, after I had called the police, filed the police report, made a insurance claim, I'm driving home and I see it right in front of Chris Franco's house.
Oh, fucking Chris. Like, he's did it.
What? And so
he's did it.
So I thought it was him. Cause like I got this bit with Chris. That
was it not?
Where since COVID started.
Do you have proof that it wasn't Chris?
No, I don't.
There you go.
But like ever since COVID started, Chris stays home all the time. So I drive by and I call him and I'm like, Chris, your car hasn't moved, dude. It's good. Your car is good. I got eyes on it.
Good, good.
So I thought maybe he's being a smart ass and move my scooter. And like, so after I'd seen it, that's when I called you and I was like, I got no idea what the fuck is going on. I get up there. Somebody had jammed something in the ignition. They ripped the entire front shell off. They cut wires. All this shit, and then they...
All this shit, man.
The handlebars wouldn't unlock,
yeah.
And so they crashed it, and then they just set it up in front of
I like that they
house.
Parked it delicately in
it
front of
Chris's
house. It was
parked perfectly, the correct way, and that's why I kind of thought, oh, maybe it was Chris, maybe it was a joke, you know, but like...
Ah, pinches Chris's.
Yeah, $380 later, I got
you had to pay for that?
Yeah, dude. Even if it was covered in insurance, which they were talking about doing renters, but my deductible's
$500,
so... Oh. Yep, $380 for that.
I would have just... You know me, dude? I would have just lit that fucker on fire. Insurance fraud me up, baby.
Well, the best part was, too, like the doctor's appointment was to go get an injection in my hip. Mm-hmm. So not only was I stressing out about my scooter, but then I got a long needle shoved into my hip. So that was fun.
Cortisone shot?
Before you guys go into the cortisol, let me tell you a little something about Chris Franco. You've only known him about 20 years.
Yeah, only.
Right. So he may be very responsible when it comes to like the whole, you know,
his career, his family.
Exactly. All that
quarantine.
Stuff. Quarantine. Yeah, COVID. All appearances.
Yeah.
All about appearances, okay? Because when it comes to fucking stolen property, Vespas, scooters.
How well do we really know Chris Franco?
Exactly.
Well, the answer and is it not
was,
well.
Not and at all. And it was responsibly all, parked, fact. Too, in front of
well,
his
Well, of course
house.
It was, because he abides by those things.
Yeah, Chris is the type of person who would steal somebody's fucking moped and then park it perfectly in front of his house.
Right.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, you know.
Just throw that, out there.
I did call him and throw the accusations on his voice.
You did, mail. And I was like, dude, Chris could not have handled this well.
He thought it was funny. He's like, I listened to your voicemail. No.
No?
That wasn't me.
He's just doing the thing. Like, he does, I don't know. I don't know who did
no.
it.
Oh, it's just like when you steal somebody's shit, and then they're like, where's my shit? And you're like, oh, I'll buy you a new one. Like, that kind
I'm
of
I'm sorry, thing. What?
Whoa.
No, it's like, you know. It was, no, it was like
is that a bit that you do?
It was a thing when I was a kid, you know, like if I took something that didn't belong
oh,
to me.
Oh, dude, speaking of stealing and things that didn't belong to you, have Matt and I told you this story of early on in our relationship?
The $50.
This $50 debacle that happened?
No.
I haven't told you about this?
I don't think you did.
So it was very early on in the show. Like,
has he told you his Corey Feldman story, though?
Super early on.
Yes.
I it was funny because
twice since I've been here on the show.
It was twice since you've been here in this house right now.
Yeah.
So fucking Matt. So we record and he's leaving and he calls me and goes, hey bro, I left my wallet in your fucking studio. I'm like, all right, cool. I'll go get it to you.
Cool.
Tight. Cool. I'll fucking get
Hell
it to
yeah.
you. So I go out to his car and me being who I am, I throw it at him. I throw it at him.
His fucking ninja star.
I ninja star it at his fucking house or at his car.
At his house.
At his house. At that, dude, I can.
I wasn't living in my car though. Your house.
I can throw it that far. No, I threw it from National City to North Park, South Park, and so like an hour. Was it an hour later or the next day?
It was that night. I think
he calls me and he goes, "Hey, dude, I had a 50 in my wallet. Is there any chance you know where that is?" And I go, "Fuck what?" This motherfucker thought for how many days? A week?
I don't know.
It was like 2 weeks?
It was a while. Like, it was like at least, probably like 2 weeks.
He's all, can I trust this motherfucker?
Yeah.
Well, no, because I'd known him for like a year and stuff, and it just seemed really weird. And I'm like, man, like, I trust George. He said he didn't do it, but like, that's awful suspicious. Like, where the fuck is it?
Were you doing cocaine recreationally at the time?
No. And then, about like, I don't know, maybe even a month later, or at least a couple weeks later, I was vacuuming my car and like, I don't know if it got caught on the vacuum or if I reached my hand under, but I found the 50 and like, I could have just fucking not said anything, but I owned up to it. I fucking fessed up. I'm like, hey man, I'm sorry. I found it. Cause what, I mean, like when he threw the
what
wallet.
What kind of asshole flips a wallet like a ninja star?
When that's the really wallet the, and that's the really cards. The question. Landed on the floor of the passenger side, but the 50 wound up under the driver's seat, which like
it must have flipped out, like, you know.
Yeah.
So anywho, yeah.
At least I didn't flip out. That's the important part.
You did internally though.
I was just like, wait, no, internally I'm like, fuck, dude, did he seriously fucking rip me off like for $50? Like, I didn't know. I mean, you know, with all the fucking smacky shoots, like
So how do you feel about it now?
Well, now I think it's funny.
Now it's a funny story.
Yeah.
So how's it going, bros? How are you?
Wait, I want to process about this.
I don't give you any time to process.
We did enough of that last week.
Yeah.
We sure did. I did. Because you guys kept fucking asking. Kept fucking prying into my personal cock.
Were we prying or were we trying to help you process?
I'm just playing it up, man. You and no, neither were you in my cock, but I just wanted to say that.
Like a sleeping bag.
Yeah.
You could crawl in that motherfucker and
thrive
those
on
ones that comes up
I
over
thrive
your
on
head
these things.
Drawstring.
You could drawstring his crock.
Yeah.
His conk. His crock. He wears crocs while he conks.
Ew.
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 Are we gonna do what we watched?
Ew.
I mean, I'm getting there.
Hey, have you
I
listened to wait. BTS yet? Because it's so tight.
No.
Now.
I've only tight. Heard Dynamite.
Dynamite's good. But it's not even the best. They announced their full English album now.
Who cares?
The best. So he's God. Like, it's pointless to give a fuck. Meanwhile, my scooter and BTS.
Right.
Yeah. It is pointless to give
but
a fuck.
But my anyway. Scooter.
I couldn't find it.
I couldn't find my scooter.
My scooter. Holy shit.
Oh, fuck. So what's been going on, dudes?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Let's see. What did 8, 9, 10. That's what's been going on. What did I watch? 11. I watched Coco D. Coco Da again.
That one. I need to watch that.
I was supposed to talk about that movie like back in March, and then like they pushed back the release date because of COVID, and it's still not released, and you're supposed to like embargo your reviews until release date.
And you're like, embargo this, bitch.
Yeah, it's been 6 months. So Coco D. Coco Da is fucking great. I didn't like it as much the second time as the first time.
That's the one he mentioned to me last week. Yeah, I can't wait for that.
It's still real good. Real, real good.
Real.
I watched a movie called Starfish.
Starfish.
Chocolate starfish in the hot dog flavored water.
Mm-hmm.
That movie was real good, too.
Really?
Yeah, I was surprised.
Hawkeye.
And it's an art house movie. It's like kind of like sci-fi horror, but it's like art house, but it's also got like, you know, like a really good like romance story in it. It's got like a bunch of good stuff. And
there's like 1 second of two people kissing, and he's like, it's a romance.
Nah, it's more than that.
It's a romance movie filled with monsters.
So much more.
But really, like, the base of it is the romance. Well,
what was the romance recently? Itchy the Killer was a romance.
Romance. And it then is. Also, and then also the fuck after
crazy.
And then After Midnight was a romance that just happened to have monsters in it.
Of course it's a romance.
Yeah. That
like, was, how is it not? You can argue that it's not a horror movie, after but you can.
Ever again.
So Starfish was real good.
Such an example of like, oh, it's an indie film and we really like the people, so it's great. No.
That's not what it is.
Sure it is.
And then I watched New Mutants. And
Talk about New Mutants.
I mean, what's there to talk
Come
about?
Come back, dude. Like, let's talk about New Mutants.
I mean,
let's talk about that trash.
It's, I mean, it's like I told you last week. It's
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
It's a solid 3 out of 5. Like
what?
It's, yeah, it's a
that's
solid.
That's crazy, no, dude.
He's fucking tripping.
No, it is. It's a pretty good movie, and it's got like a really. It's got a lot of potential that was unfortunately not.
I mean, you can't judge a movie on the potential.
It was still an enjoyable movie. It wasn't as bad as everybody says it was. Like wow. those are the people who get all up in arms about look, like Last of Us having a lesbian in
look,
it.
Look. I just watched The Wolverine today, so I'm down to watch whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
But no, don't you dare say that it's a good movie.
It's much better than that. It is. I mean, it's not a great movie, and would I watch it again? Maybe.
The Wolverine had something good going on until the third act.
It did.
Where it was like, fuck it. Throw into the regular comic shit.
Yeah.
And then the final thing I watched was a Thai horror comedy romance that's fucking incredible. It's called PEMAK. PEEMAK. It's on Netflix. Damn, that movie is good.
Okay.
It's 2 hours long. Does not feel that long at all.
As most movies are, if it they're does, not rock-a-doodle.
It does comedy better
What's
than...
What's that movie about? Oh, about 2.5 hours.
It does comedy better than most comedies. It's not very scary.
Biden?
And, yeah, man, like the love story between the two main characters feels so genuine and authentic.
Oh my god.
That,
this guy, this the
just
the,
watch fucking Moonstruck. It's much better than what you're talking about.
I don't even know what
about.
That is.
The moment any sort of romance is introduced, this guy's like starry-eyed.
It's very authentic.
It's good.
They were
it
on
is.
A swing. It and is. It was very authentic.
It's not that kind of like romance. It's like, you know, you find out that the main character and you find this out in the first like minute, so it's not a spoiler, but like his wife is a ghost through the whole thing, and it's like his friends are like, oh shit, she's a ghost, and he's like, he doesn't see it, so it's kind of like them trying to convince him, but like the relationship between the two of them is like really sweet, and he's like, oh, I love you no matter what, and like it's I don't want to,
if their friends
it.
Can see her, then I guess she's not that much of a ghost.
She's like, I mean, it's not like a poltergeist or anything. They can see her and the town sees her and everything. And the town is terrified of her. But like, yeah, he,
is she like a gross ghost?
No, she's actually really fine. Like really fine. She's
so little, then why would you be scared of a hot ghost?
Because everybody thinks that she kills people.
That's
like,
just that's
you
just,
have to watch it to understand it. I'm trying not to spoil it.
That's just phantasm.
Phantasmism. Well, either way, it's
racism towards phantasms.
Fantastic.
You objectified the phantasm.
She's fine. She's hella fine.
Remember Batman Mask of the Phantasm?
Yeah.
That was great, man. That made me do a That's been a while. That was fucking. Did you ever see that shit, Matt?
Guaranteed he has not.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Good movie. Good.
In fact, one of the best iterations of Batman on film, I'll go so far as to say.
What other things have you seen on?
That's by the guys that did the animated series. So it's like it's yeah.
I saw it at the Vogue too. I remember that. But I watched a shitload of movies. Primarily, also because we didn't record last week due to
COVID.
Yeah, we'll call it COVID.
That's why.
Yeah,
COVID of the heart. And
wow,
his heart went autistic.
Okay, let me try to clump these into categories here. Dude, I watched Good Will Hunting.
Oh, that's a good flick.
That fucking movie is fantastic.
Yeah.
Those that Affleck fellow and Damon have, they're going to go places.
Yeah.
And then lose places and then get back to places. I wouldn't
be surprised if one of those guys played Batman eventually.
When then one of them's going to play Batman and we're going to be like, bleh.
Yeah.
And fat man.
Poor guy. But okay, what else? Oh, The Devil All the Time. I watched it's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Tom Holland.
Oh yes, how is.
And a shitload of fucking people in it, and I'm like not doing well with the names right now, but it has Sebastian Stan. It has the guy Yeah, that you do?
Yeah.
Oh. it has the guy who played Pennywise in the new
Pennywise.
The movie is like
tragic. Joke hair.
It's based on a book.
Oh man, that's a joke for like 10 people on the internet. Fuck.
I don't know that joke.
It's basically like tragedy porn, which I'm like usually on board with, but it didn't seem much was behind it. The storytelling is really good though. And the acting, the performances, like if you're at all curious to see Tom Holland in something that's hard R-rated outside of playing Spider-Man and see what he can do. Yeah, the guy's got fucking chops, which I wasn't surprised by.
Awesome.
But it was nice. And it's on Netflix. Again, though, it doesn't really, I mean, the storytelling is pretty solid, but it has one of those fucking horrible voiceovers where they're like telling you what's happening while you're looking at it. And it's like, I don't need to fucking see what's happening meanwhile, or I don't need you to tell me because I'm looking at it. So stop telling me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe they think you're dense.
What was that?
That was tight.
That was dense.
Yeah, that was dense silence.
That was a pregnant silence.
That was a pregnant silence. That reminds me of Miss Terry's English class. But The Social Dilemma.
Is that a movie?
Oh God, it was this fucking.
You said you'd watched The Social Dilemma.
It was
right?
This fucking AP English teacher that we had. Oh boy,
she was a good teacher.
She was.
For a fucking high school teacher, she was like acting like it was fucking Harvard fucking English lit. It was like. Damn, bitch.
That's good if you're an English major.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true.
And in retrospect, though, she had like hair like fucking George Harrison. And
She had a thing going on, but she was all right.
She was.
You weren't in actual class in senior year, right?
I wasn't in actual class very much at all. I found a slip of my truants from a semester.
Hell yeah,
dude! I forgot. I should have brought that to you. I don't know why I'd want to show you, but I was really proud of it.
Me too.
I'm like, you know what all these T's are? She's all what? I'm like truants. She's all why? I'm like
because it's tight. Why? I would ditch every day. Like I would go and then during first period, I would hang out in the quad with my friends and then second period. Yeah.
See, and look what it did for us.
Yeah. And then second period, I would just leave and drive back home because my parents were gone, hang out at home on the internet because it was a newfangled thing back then.
Just jerking it all day.
Yep. And then, no, I was in chat rooms, dude. I was chatting it up. And then go back for fifth period and lunch, hop the fence and leave again.
I did similar stuff. The Social Dilemma is a much talked about documentary on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very fucking fascinating stuff for me. I like media studies and stuff like that too. So I really, it has people who've been in the social media industry in different platforms and basically letting you know how the stuff's designed and Yeah, how basically
it's nothing surprising. I watched a little bit of it with Ronnie, and I was like, okay, I got it.
Some of it was surprising to me. Like, yeah, the parts that weren't surprising though, I did find interesting.
Yeah,
and I found their transparency and willingness to talk about it pretty. I don't want to. It's not just that it's admirable. I thought that was surprising. I was kind of surprised by that. Right. But you could tell they were a little kind of unsettled and disturbed. They'd fucking done all
oh,
that.
Oh yeah.
Because it's kind of headless. Basically, it's just going now.
They're on the same page as those scientists who created the A-bomb.
Kind of. Kind of some Oppenheimer shit.
Mass destruction.
Yeah.
And they feel guilt for it. Survivor guilt.
I watched 3 episodes of The Vow, which is about the Nexium cult. And it's on fucking HBO, HBO Max.
Okay.
It's actually like really lucid and sober headed. Like I kind of wanted low-key would like, give me the dirt. But I'm actually more appreciative because
give me the loot.
Because it's actually, it's taking its time. It's on, I haven't seen the 4th episode. It just debuted last week. But it's giving you the full history of the thing. And yeah, as it goes, that shit is crazy.
Awesome.
You ever heard of that?
No.
The Nexium, what was the chick from Smallville was in it and everything?
Kristen Kreuk.
Yes.
She was part of a sex cult.
Yeah. Right? That's Nexium.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, I thought it was the actress you were talking, like, not, okay, never mind. Fuck me.
I will. Wait. No, I won't. And then
I'll Nexium you.
Oh, I watched Manchurian Candidate.
Awesome.
1962.
So good.
You've never seen that, right?
Not Matt? That garbage that garbage Denzel Washington bullshit.
No. Well, not, as remakes go, it was okay. I mean, it was okay. But,
oh, Manchurian Candidate.
Dude, it's fucking good.
Speaking of remakes,
it's so good.
Did you know we're doing something special all of October?
But wait,
okay, but wait, ahead. There's more.
Yeah, and I got to make a post about that.
Starting this month.
Then I was in the mood for something upbeat after that satirical, political, pessimistic thing. So we watched 1974's Network.
Oh fuck!
So and that movie. Have you seen that, George?
I have.
How long has it been?
God, fuck, 20 years.
Yeah, that movie and Manchurian Candidate together will do good things for your psyche during the year of our Lord.
The year of our Lord, COVID.
You know, it's not like you're stressed out or anything.
Dude,
like,
you know what? They're really gratifying movies, though. And hi, Sophia.
Hi, Sophia.
That might be the longest I've gone without saying that while talking about movies. I am so sorry. I'm sorry, girl. What? Don't look at me like that.
No, we're looking at each other like that.
Okay, and moving on from that. We watched Prometheus.
Ooh, dude, has that not aged well?
It is one of the more underrated films of this century, in my opinion. Now.
Yeah,
it has aged like fucking. Things age like fine wine, but it usually takes more time than 8 years. It's fucking easily the third best in the Alien.
Objectively, it's the third best.
Yeah, I hate the fucking boyfriend though.
Because Alien Resurrection.
I hate that those motherfuckers, when he sees the snake thing, is like, come here, baby. Come here,
little one.
That's just too stupid, dude. That's just like, you don't. If it was, I know what you did last summer, they wouldn't be doing that.
Right.
Much less these fucking guys.
Know what you did last summer.
And I'd actually like push to do that on the show one
time.
Dude,
what you did last summer?
No, Prometheus.
Didn't we do Prometheus?
We did not do Prometheus.
You did Alien Covenant.
Yeah, we did Covenant.
Shit show.
Dude, that was one of the funnest episodes and it never got released.
We didn't release it, yeah.
I don't remember why. That. Why not?
I don't remember either, dude. But yeah, Prometheus, dude. If you haven't seen it since like the first time you watched it, give it a fucking shot. It has aged well. There are things going on that it's like all the, you know, the things that happen in Covenant. That deal with what's his face?
Fassbender. Yeah.
Like the best parts David. Of Covenant. It's like, it's so good in fucking Prometheus.
He is correct. He's absolutely right about that. And then, okay, theaters, as you may have heard, they reopened a lot, like some of them, a lot of them, whatever. Some but they're really struggling because people still don't want to go. In an effort to get me to keep going to the theater.
They're just releasing all the D.
They've released all sorts of shit. So the first thing Sophia and I went and saw was Black Panther, which hits differently now than it did even 3 years ago. Unsurprisingly, right? For a few reasons.
But just because he's dead.
Not just because he's dead, but not also just because
he's dead, but he was battling cancer while he was making that movie.
And yeah. And not mean, just because he's dead either.
Come on.
The sociopolitical issues in the film were relevant then, of course, and now they haven't became less relevant.
Awesome. If you had been battling cancer the last 7 years of this stupid show, I'd be like, well, good. It's admirable that he's still smoking all that weed and working out.
And certain members of the cast knew, and the director knew. And you could, like, you know, there's parts in the film where he's visiting the afterlife and coming to terms with stuff like that. So it's like, it hits differently.
Speaking of things that are very samey and hit differently, I watched District 9 again yesterday.
So fucking good.
Kind of the same exact premise. No, like, you realize that, what's his name? Vickis was actually just a fucking asshole. He's not a sympathetic character at all.
Well, fuck
no. He was part of the machine until the machine didn't want him anymore, and then he's all sympathetic.
That's the point. Yeah.
Well, don't, I mean, that's not, I mean, what?
No, because, like,
I found it hard to, I didn't sympathize with anyone in that movie.
Well, normally I sympathize with Vickis because it's, like, sad that the things are happening to him.
It's
like,
Wickis?
It's Dickus?
Yeah.
Dickus.
Biggest Dickus.
Biggest Dickus.
Oh, that's another thing I watch. I watch Life of Brian.
Oh,
Life of Brian. So I thought,
yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
I think I like Meaning of Life better, though.
Michael B. Jordan.
Wait, Biggest Dickus is in Life of Brian.
Yes, it is.
Michael B. Jordan is the Biggest Dickus.
Hold up a minute. Life of Brian, isn't that History of the World Part 1?
No.
Biggest Dickus?
It's Life of Brian. I just watched it. And his wife, Incontinentia Buttocks.
Oh, right. Because the Romans are in that shit. That's right.
The Romans.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. Saw that in the theater.
It's good.
It's Raiders of the Lost Ark. Empire Strikes Back, 40th anniversary.
Damn.
By the time he finishes his list, there's going to be another Star Wars.
It's going to be like 40th.
And then fucking Akira in 4K in the theater.
Wait, you watch that already?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I so want to see that.
It's fucking... And so I'm watching it and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, Sophia liked this. And then I'm like, oh, you know, the dogs get shot and then this happens. And I'm like, why did I think she would like this? See,
you should do a double feature of Akira and Tetsuo the Iron Man.
Well, that would be... Well, and it's... Tetsuo! No, but like...
Tetsuo!
Yeah, they say each other's names so much in that fucking movie.
It's like Rose and Jack.
That's anime, bro.
I'm like watching Akira and I can't wait for it to get where it's going, which is when it's really gross. So I'm just like, oh, watch this part. And I'm like, watch this part. She's going to hate this part even more.
She's going to hate this part. She's going to hate me.
Does Sophia
drink?
But yeah,
she said she liked it. Oh, she does occasionally, very occasionally.
You guys should do like the Titanic game with Coke Akira together. Where like
every time my buddy Carlos did that. Every time they said Tetsuo.
Yeah, she can take a drink of wine or whatever.
Or Canada.
And you can take a drink of Bang every time they say Canada.
Yeah.
Canada.
That would be tight.
Canada.
But I kind of already do that.
You'd be so fucking
He just mainlines fucking Bang all day.
I have two a day and this is literally my second of the day.
At 9:15 at night.
That's how it be. I would have had it at like 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not needed because I had one at like 9 a.m. Anyway. I wanted to tell you something though, both you guys. You see, movies like Die Hard, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Empire Strikes Back, for a long time were my top 10 favorites.
Okay.
Now that I've watched them, I'm older, they're older. I love them to death, but they have now been relegated to I love those movies growing up. I just don't feel like they're... I want different shit from movies now.
All right.
Like, of the stuff I watched recently, Manchurian Candidate was my favorite. Like, I'm fucking... It's happening.
It's happening. You're an old white bitch.
Like, There Will Be Blood is Pin a fizz. I like that much nose. Better than fucking watching Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which makes sense, but yeah. It's just like... It feels... It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
And The Room, I like better than all of those things.
Nah, fuck off.
Okay. That's a lot of shit we watched, though. So and yeah, a bunch of Mystery Science Theater.
So I watched The Wolverine. Not good, but fun. I finished The Umbrella Academy.
Not as good as the first season.
I'm like, you did it again. You did the thing that you did to me again. Yeah. You've now time traveled, and now you've done the thing. You back to the futured me,
and now you know you're gonna watch it just because
I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna watch it.
I'm gonna watch it.
I'm gonna watch it. Simma simma sa.
Oh, fuck! I forgot. We watched The Godfather.
Great. Anyway, George.
So yeah, I will be tuning in for season three, of course. But I'm just like, okay, number five is gonna get him out of some crazy hijinks again. And
I mean, do you really care?
Luther's gonna be an idiot, and fucking Allison's gonna be who she is.
Hot
and
as fuck. How many seasons of Walking Dead have you watched?
I mean, altogether, probably four.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Dude, because I watched like three episodes and then I'm out. You know what? I'm out.
And then you'll just pick up next season. Yeah, you're like, they'll tell me what happened.
They'll tell me what happened in the recap. That's all I care about. Just recap me, motherfucker.
And you go back.
Yeah.
And then I heard that episode.
And then you dip your D once again. I started watching this show with on Netflix, Away with Hilary Swank.
How is that?
Holy fuck, it's boring.
Oh, good.
Holy shit.
It's got the swank. She hasn't been good since Million Dollar Baby.
God damn, dude. I don't know. Like I said this about that Charlize Theron show where she's like an immortal killer. And I'm like,
immortal bitch.
An immortal old white bitch. Yeah. And I go, how do they make that boring? How do they make fucking space travel to fucking Mars boring? And somehow,
I mean, to be fair,
oh, like, fuck off.
Space is boring.
Hey, fuck off.
Space is great.
Shut up. They just found salinated water on fucking Mars, you dick.
That's tight.
That is tight.
I told you about when they found the fucking gaseous, or the, what was it? The noxious gas or something in, what was it? Saturn's orbit?
I don't give a fuck about gas. Give me the water, dude. That's what all I
Venus.
Give
a, it was I don't give a fuck about water, moisture, or gas.
Give me the aliens, dude.
I just give a fuck about ass, cash, or grass.
Yeah.
Nobody rides for free.
Yeah!
Yeah, so that's it. That's what we watched. Any news we should get to, Matthew?
Does it look like I have a laptop in front of me?
There was fucking a lot of news.
There was, and I had notes for tonight's movie and all that, and I forgot my bag, and now I got nothing.
One thing that pops my head, and it's super relevant to the recent Maniac Cop episode, which is fantastic, by the way.
The episode or the movie?
Both. The episode, primarily. And, we were talking about, like, Jordan Peele remake of Maniac Cop, but... So, yeah, Nicholas Winding Refn.
There you go.
Which is the guy who, for the listener, did Drive. He did Bronson. He did fucking the Neon Demon.
Just keep saying more things that are making my pee-pee
He
hard.
Did Neon Demon.
Yep.
You didn't see Only God Forgives. You'd probably think didn't it's really I? Slow, but it's really nice to
I
look
think
at.
I did see that.
Did you?
I think so.
With Ryan Gosling and fucking yes. Tibet and shit?
Yes, I did see that.
Anyway, he's doing the Maniac Cop remake, and
I'm in.
To paraphrase, he says it's his neon-soaked, cocaine-addled, drug-fueled, violence as fuck.
Yes, please.
Super-duper in.
Yes, please, all the things.
In fact, there may not be a better pairing of director and material since...
Let's see what he pulls.
Since that fucking dude directed those German propaganda videos for the Nazis. How about that?
Well, I'm unfamiliar with that director and those videos.
And that dude. Okay. Yeah. But what other news is there?
I don't know. I had it, but now I don't. So it doesn't matter.
There's a new Deftones album that's out.
There is.
Oh, thank you for mentioning it.
And you guys were touching each other about it earlier.
I mean,
George's eyes lit up.
But as we should be, and you should be too, Frank.
I haven't heard it yet. I just haven't heard it.
It's frankly, it's fucking incredible.
Yeah. Yeah,
it really has no right being as good as it fucking is. I'm embarrassed to even say that.
Well, listen, he never does this, and we never agree about this all the time. Well, I shouldn't say never, but yeah, what? It's something we can all get behind,
except for Moonboy,
and it can get behind us and just fuck us till we die.
I'm ready to let Ohms fuck me until I die.
Yeah, and there's not a weak track on the fucking thing. There's songs I like better than others, but it's a great fucking
highly recommended. Even if you aren't a Deftones fan to start with, then you probably won't.
It sounded very Deftones.
It's so fucking good.
Yeah.
I think that if you thought that like Deftones was a new metal band for the last like 15, 20 years, like it sheds all of that basically.
Well, they shed that with Diamond Eyes.
Well, I know that, but like I think that
was
like
that the, 10 years ago?
Yeah. White Pony's 20 years ago.
I think the perception of Deftones is like, oh, they're a new metal band. It's like, well, have you been listening for the last decade?
They're an
like,
art metal band.
They're fucking
if you wanted to call it anything.
Yeah, because White Pony, like White Pony wasn't new metal, and that was like at the height of new metal.
But I think they still have that stigma attached to them that I think is falsely.
Well, and even if they want to fucking have their pants like that and do those things with their hair and have those bead necklaces, they still looked better doing
their puka shells, thank you.
I don't think he had the puka shells. He had like the little metal spheres and shit.
Chino Moreno was a fucking dreamboat back in the 90s.
Some girl fucking said he hugged her like in the crowd, and she's like, "A motherfucker smelled like baby powder."
Probably had it on when he became Fat Chino.
That's right. It is a great fucking album, though. And it's even lauded, like, by, you know, not for what it's worth, but, like, yeah, it's critically fucking adored. And this may be the time where fucking Pitchfork awards Deftones a higher rating than a new Fleet Foxes album or a new Sufjan Stevens album.
Probably not. You know what's a bummer? I like Sufjan.
So do I.
It's just like, fuck.
I think he's great.
Yeah. Anywho, we're going to talk about a couple movies when we take a break.
That's right.
We'll be right back.
That's right.
Break that ass.
Dumb fucks. Sophia. Never fucking mind. I was arguing with Sophia real quick. Hey, bros.
Hey, bro.
Guess what?
We're back!
We're fucking back, bros. We're
fucking back.
Hey, Matthew.
Shit, solid, dude.
Can you fucking tell us about motherfucking Patreon, homie?
Yeah, I can.
Then do it.
But I won't.
Oh, shit. He wanted me to do it.
Will you please
do Patreon.com/WhoGoesTherePodcast is full of hella type people, including Sophia, who Red is currently arguing with. No, he's not. Yes, he is.
No. It's not arguing, dude.
They're all hella cool people who want to help us keep doing this show. And they do that by going to Patreon.com/WhoGoesTherePodcast and donating a little bit of money or a lot of money. And in return, they get exclusive content. We got
a couple folks who donate a lot of money who have like literally like just kept the show afloat.
For real. And we got a brand new homie this week.
Jaron?
I don't know.
I mean, whatever, dude.
Yeah, but they've been very supportive on Instagram for quite a long time. And you know, they finally made the jump over to patreon.com/WhoGoesTherePodcast.
Also, congratulations to no longer Lil fucking Turk.
Oh, yeah.
It is now motherfucking Papa Turk.
I mean, congratulations is one word, you know? Did you see that he was wearing our I Hate Your Fucking Guts shirt during the pregnancy announcement? I'm like, what a, you know, an appropriate shirt to wear. That's so good. Great.
Man, I'm so, at the same time, I'm like, you don't know what you're getting into.
You poor son of a bitch.
I also, I'm like, you know what, dude? Fatherhood's pretty fucking all right.
Yeah.
So congrats, little Turk. Well, Papa Turk.
Yeah, join the community. We got some cool stuff coming, you know, towards the end of the year. We got our annual Christmas present for Patreon.
Might be a Halloween present, depending on how the money flows.
And the timing goes. Yeah, and we'll see. We also got, you know, copies of Ringworm going out to our $20 Patreon.
That's coming out soon, dude! Yep. October!
And then the Discord is hella tight. So go to patreon.com/WhoGoesTherePodcast and you can be mostly hella tight.
Mostly. Okay, so the Who Goes There podcast watched a couple of fucking movies. And this is a thing that we'll be talking about now that we're doing in October.
Yeah.
Brett?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
In October.
Shocktober.
Rocktober.
Cocktober.
October is home to a special holiday most of you know as Halloweenus.
Halloween. You know this is your weenus?
Is that what? Is that really?
Yeah, your elbow skin is your weenus.
You know that band Ween?
Yeah.
Okay.
Push the little daisies and make them come up.
Push the little daisies and make them come up.
This being the case, and since we're doing substantially less newer stuff this year due to public stuff with viruses.
I'm liking what you're doing right now.
You like that?
Yeah.
It's going well, huh?
Yeah, it's going super well.
it's going.
We're doing a special thing in October where we watched the original version of a film, then the remake, and we cover them in the same episode. So this is the first of those episodes.
Saw.
We are doing Wes Craven's The Hills Have Eyes and followed by the remake next week.
Alexandre Aja.
Yeah, who also just say, I'll hold off on that. Yeah. The next one is Dawn of the Dead, the original George Romero one, and then Zack Snyder's remake, circa 2005, 2004?
I think it's 2004.
And it has a Disturbed song, probably the best use of a Disturbed song in human history.
The only I think it has a
Richard Cheese cover of Slipknot in it too.
No, oh. it's Disturbed.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Okay.
Lounge Against the Machine. That dude.
Richard Cheese and Lounge
Come Against on, the Machine. Come on, you muck down with the sickness. Down with the sickness. Do they
have people equal shit in that too?
Sure. Know.
Probably.
Anyway. And then
the following is Nightmare on Elm Street, the original, which they have never done on the show.
Another Wes Craven film.
Wes is dominating the fucking stats.
And then the beloved remake from 2009, Nightmare on Elm Street, that really plays up the pedophile aspects of Freddy, which everyone loves. Yeah, right? I've never seen that film, but I've heard great things. And that's sarcasm. If you didn't know. And then
can you hear the sarcasm through the mic?
For the last week of October, we're actually doing Hellraiser 1, 2, and 3. The one with the dude with the fucking CDs.
That's the best one.
I can't I'm already dreading having to watch 3 fucking movies in a single week.
Hey, luckily you have an entire month.
You kidding me, dude? Are you fucking actually kidding me?
You only have to watch 7 movies this month because you've already got the first 2 bitch. Out of the way.
God damn, dude.
So yeah. It should be a fun time.
All right. Well, let's talk about The Hills Have Eyes, 1977, directed and written by Wes Craven, starring Suze Lanier Bromlett, Robert Houston, Martin Speer, Dee Wallace, Russ Grieve, John Steadman, James Whitworth, Virginia Vincent, Lance Gordon, Michael Berryman, Janice Blythe, Cordy Clark as Mama.
Cordy
motherfucking Clark, and Peter Locke as
Peter Lord. Fuck yeah,
Mercury. Rhett Creel.
Yeah,
Rhett Dennison Creel.
Don't even have to do that part.
Is that your middle name, Dennison?
It's my mom's maiden name. So she's like, look, if you're gonna take this bitch ass motherfucker's last name, then I'm gonna give you my maiden name as your middle name.
Was your mom a fat old black woman?
No, she's from the South.
That's what her.
She's a fat old Southern woman. Really?
Yeah, that's what his mom sounded like.
Yeah, she's very, very. No, I love my mom, but she did. Yeah, she's from the South.
Yeah,
and she's
straight up.
And she's the kind of lady too. In the '60s, like she would like giving black people a ride home, and then freaking there was a burning cross on her lawn when she got home.
Can we call you Denny?
No. You can call him Reddy.
Can we watch Fried Green Tomatoes?
I'm sorry, what?
Did you ever see that film?
Freddy's Green Tomatoes?
Freddy's Green Tomatoes. This film, I had never seen this film or the remake, but we'll get to that when we get to that. I'd always heard about it and this and this and this, but I try to look at a film in the context of its time. That being said... Wow, it was subpar once it started get going. And then I'm like, well, this must be intentional from good old Wes. And this is pre-Nightmare on Elm Street and pre-Swamp Thing and, you know, and this and that. He's got something up his sleeve here. So they're having this conversation eating outside the fucking trailer and stuff that's just god awful. And that's when it starts to hit me. I'm like, this is great. I just realized, you know, I like the, again, with Wes, it's like the themes and like what it's.
You say Wes as if like your homies. I know this dude.
No, but it's like he was obviously inspired by Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And so instead of that, it's like out in the middle of nowhere in the desert, which is like, and it's a great thing to incorporate the atomic fallout thing. So I like that stuff in there. And as the movie kept going, the line delivery of certain lines was fucking hilarious, and it was too hilarious to not be deliberate at least some of the time. Then as it kept going and kept going,
then
I was really impressed with the structure, because he comes up with these little sequences based off like not much, like who's well, outside
almost, one could say almost nothing.
Well, almost nothing, but the sequences are really well constructed, not necessarily executed yet, but constructed as evidenced by the sequel, which lifts a lot of the fucking structure directly and just does the scenes better. But the last third, I was actually pretty engaged. How they depict these people out in the middle of the desert is fucking laughable. But also he really leans into
also terrible.
He leans into the grossness though, to the grossness of it and all that. And then you do get
the sickness, if you will.
The sickness. I do get an idea by the end of it that you see how this guy is completely devolved into just like the guy, one of the survivors. He's just fucking wants to kill and maim these people, and you're kind of right there with him. And
you're like, who's really the monster, dude?
Well, is it the monsters or the monster?
Well, and also look, they're all, it's this blonde bourgeois fucking family. And you know, so I'm kind of low key. Like, I mean, yeah, I hope they get ripped up.
They have a trailer. They're not fucking bourgeois.
A little, to me, they are.
You're like trailer bourgeois.
I am fucking.
It was like every American family had those back in the day.
Matt Smith.
You're talking to a dude whose parents did not fucking let him touch a car. Much less go anywhere in a trailer, much less own a fucking trailer.
Oh, you were Amish?
Exactly. What did you think of this film?
I'm going to be the outlier here.
Are you? Because he was pretty positive about it.
Are you?
Well, no, I'm mixed. I'm like, I thought it was funny, deliberately sometimes, and unintentionally others, but interesting for its time.
So he's pretty positive.
But there's horrible fucking acting in it. And I think the structure is more effective than the execution. But it's what, 77?
Something like that, yeah. 77, 78.
Yeah.
77.
I'm largely favorable for this movie. It's a movie that I've always liked, and honestly, this Psycho tattoo was originally going to be a Hills Have Eyes tattoo.
Better choice.
It was going to be Michael Berryman, but the tattoo artist wanted to do Janet Leigh instead.
Much better choice.
I would have rather had Michael Berryman, to be honest, because like, you know, he's a very recognizable face. Like, you see the Janet Leigh, and it's like, who's that? That looks like you as a little boy. And it's like, nope, that's not me. That's Jamie Lee Curtis's mom. But, yeah, I've never really watched this movie through an objective lens before. And it doesn't hold up as much as it used to.
Okay.
I really prepared for doing a comparison and contracting, or, you know, contrasting between the two.
We'll get there. Don't worry.
So, like, I'm trying to figure out what I want to say that doesn't jump the gun here.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely things that I like. There's definitely things. It is paced pretty slowly. There are
almost things, like molasses.
Yeah, there are things that I definitely like more. Like, I liked that the old shopkeeper was actually against doing all this stuff now. He seemed more virtuous in this one. And I really appreciated that. I liked that it was kind of just a wrong place, wrong time type situation. I really like the grainy, gritty feel of it. But it really does fucking drag for quite a while. And like,
and it's not even that long.
Yeah. And they're just like,
that's the real fucking bummer.
Ultimately, when it boils down to it too, like this whole clan of hillbillies was started by one bad egg. He was just a fucking bad kid. And he went out and like, kidnapped somebody and made rape babies, and now like they just live in the
hills. I mean, I guess it should be of little to no surprise that I fucking hate this movie.
I'm not surprised.
I know it's the progenitor of the style, and I get it. It's before its time, but watching it in 2020, dude, this shit sucks. I'm not even like really like, but it's like, do you understand the gravitas of the blah? Fuck off. This movie fucking sucks if you're watching it now. Yeah, if you're watching it in 77, sure, it's doing things that nobody had ever done before. And like Red said, it's fucking aping Texas Chainsaw Massacre like a motherfucker. But yeah, no, dude, I don't like it. I don't like the acting. I don't like the fucking, I don't like the pacing. I don't like any of the things that happen in this film. To like bring it to like a sharp point, when we get to talking about the remake, this movie sucks.
Which had you seen this before?
Yes.
Okay. And when you watched it this time, which one did you watch first?
I watched remake,
and then original
77. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
I guess so. I mean, truthfully, like what was really jarring to me is, you know, so watching the remake, the the idea of them being like radioactive mutants is so much more is. Can we do the thing?
See, that's what I want.
Yeah, let's do the thing. So, I enjoy the remake
immensely
as a film, and not even just like, oh, it's a better remake. It's a really great and fun film.
It's one of the better remakes that I've ever seen.
I had never seen that movie. That movie immediately, yeah, like you just said, there's The Fly, there's The Thing, mm-hmm. and pretty much there's this as far as horror remakes.
Yeah, and I don't want to talk about it, but we're also going to be, well, yeah. Yeah.
We're kind of melding into that.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk about what?
I know what he's saying. Don't worry about it.
The D?
No.
The D.
Yeah. But, yeah, and honestly, I mean, it's... Again, I don't want to like exaggerate, but since I hadn't seen it and since it's been around for a good minute and I had never seen it, but always heard about it, I think it's one of the better horror movies I've seen from that decade.
Yeah. Well, see, and it's funny from that the, you say the that O-O's. It's funny that you say that it aped Texas Chainsaw because the remake was made due to the success of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake.
Gotcha.
The Jessica Biel one. Maybe success isn't the right word.
Yeah. But like, well, I don't mean aped, Wes Craven like, even admitted it was an influence.
Right.
It's one of his favorite films.
It's funny though, because it's like it was heavily influenced by Texas Chainsaw, and then the Texas Chainsaw remake came out, and that influenced them to make a Hills Have Eyes remake. And I mean, I think if you can cobble the two movies together, there's a goddamn near perfect movie in here. Like, there's stuff that I like much more about the original that I don't like about the remake, and then vice versa. But like, I like the remake infinitely.
Yeah. More. I just think, you know, the whole idea of, you know, this radioactive town in the remake that feels so much more well built. Mm-hmm. I think the, like, you know, when you have these moments of like, you see, the what do they call them, the waterhead babies or whatever the fuck,
hydrocephalic,
you know, the images of that, like,
it's creepy, it's like Rubber Johnny.
When you see that imagery and they take place in a world where there has been this radioactive fallout, you're like, that stuff makes sense. But in the Wes Craven version, I go, well, they're just fucking normal people, like one of them just happens to be fat,
they just like, live it one, and Michael Berryman just looks weird, but like, there's nothing wrong with them. One of them was just a bad kid, you know, and like his dad attacked him and sent him off to live in the woods, and the woodnesses. Yeah, in the hills, and then he kidnapped some prostitute
with eyes,
and then like they had a bunch of babies, you know, that grew up, and I'm guessing had sex with each other and became more incestuous. But that's one of the things I like about the remake more, is I feel like the mutants have much more depth to them, you know, like there's a story there where it's like, oh, you told our families to go live in the mines, and then that wasn't good enough, and then you dropped your fucking bombs on us, and now like, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah, it's a family that has been continuously fucked over by society.
Yeah,
I know it sounds bad to say, but it's true. Well, they're victims. It's about victims propagating victims, right? Cycles of abuse in a certain sense.
Yeah,
that's why it does kind of get low-key, like, socio-political, because you got this family. What does that guy say, too, in the remake? The dad's like, the dad of the people out there is like, you come here and fucking rub your life in my face.
Yep, something like that.
And all that kind of shit, you know. Basically, your mere existence
is an affront
to, to what we've been through and survived.
See, and that line doesn't really work in this movie. And that's
the remake or the
in the remake. Okay. You rub your life in my face doesn't really work, because that's not at all what he was fucking doing. Like, no. That's one of the things I like about the original. The original was very much wrong place, wrong time. Like, the gas station attendant told him, stay on the main road, bro. Like, don't fucking leave the main road. And the dad is just a stupid idiot, and he wants to go to the silver mines, and his family's squabbling, and then he crashes, and it's just shit luck. Yeah. And I really like that. They're victims of circumstance. In the remake, the gas station attendant tells them he's done, then leads the family directly to the dirt road where the spike strips are. So he's not rubbing anything in their fucking faces. Like, they're the ones that stopped him. Like, your mere existence is rubbing your existence in my face. And I think that's that's kind of silly in and of itself.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess in terms of like, they didn't seek out to be caught by these fucking mutants.
Right.
But I can also see the same thing where it's like, you know, just them being able to travel across America is an affront to their fucking life. You know, in that regard, being able to have the free will to fucking go from wherever the fuck they're going to San Diego.
I can see that.
I love that Buffalo Bill is the motherfucking dad.
Oh, yeah. Ted Levine.
Good old Ted Levine.
I like him much more than the dad in the original. Which, okay, hold on. Just a little.
The dad in the original is fucking, when that guy gets lit on fire. That's what I want to talk about, the structure about it. Like, okay, this whole, when I watched the remake, they wisely, like, they said, okay, how can we honor the first one but improve on the first one? But the first decision they made was, like, certain structural things, the dog disappears first. Good idea.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. All those are decisions of Wes. And then, like, the dad fucking is being a hothead and goes to talk to the guy, and he doesn't come back, and that causes tensions back here while this is going on. And they decide to go sleep in the fucking car, and this and this. All that kind of stuff, like, because you don't have much to work with. But they could have had more to work with in the remake, but they stayed with that because they said, you know what, that works. And then when the dad gets fucking lit up, burning, which is hilarious.
In the original.
Fucking hilarious. Yeah. But the idea of it as an event is a really strong cinematic event. Yeah. The fucking dad got blown the fuck up on fire.
I know that we'll get like things where it's like, well, the remake is a beat for beat remake of the original. And yes, there are things about the original that are literally,
I don't want to say beat for beat. They added,
it's not a beat for beat. It's maybe more,
it's
like
pretty close.
More like plot device by plot device.
The,
I guess.
The changes are improvements.
I think
most of them, yeah.
Well, crucially, like a crucial one in the third act is using the fucking test towns. Like they live in the test towns instead of the fucking hills.
Yep.
Great fucking idea. Much more cinematic. It makes sense. It's like fucking, you know, it's more eerie. It makes a fucking direct like comment on the nuclear family, so to speak.
Ha!
Ha! Because they're like the real nuclear family. And well, that piece of shit, crippled motherfucker. I wish he had slit his throat.
That character was creepy as fuck, dude.
Which
like
one? The hydrocephalic one?
The one in the wheelchair where his half of his head is like hanging off of his. I mean, that's a great character.
Yep.
And the other thing too, like the runtime of the original could have been cut down by 20 minutes if you just cut out all the running.
What did you call it? Like retards running in the desert, the movie?
Yeah.
Kind of like Lord of the Rings of low budget. Yeah, like, I was just like,
why do we need to literally watch every moment of these fuckheads running?
I swear, I'm no exaggeration. That's what I mean. That third act though, I got kind of like immersive in that. Like I really felt like you're lost out there in the desert and like, fuck, this sucks.
That's also the only time that anything was really happening too, was that third act. Like
I agree,
the original, there's a lot of downtime, a lot of plotting, and the remake is almost shot, I mean not shot for shot but pretty close, but they're so much more effective in their use of time. Like the pacing is just much better.
The real downfall of the original is that none of the fucking characters are likable.
I disagree. The cast is awful.
All of them, I want to slit their throats and have them get raped in their neck.
I liked the dad more in the original.
What?
I liked the son more in the original, and I liked Doug more in the original.
I liked the son more in the original, but I think he's a much more well-rounded character in the sequel. And it was a better dynamic they introduced between him and the dad.
The
dad's like a, you know, a tough guy, and the other guy's like a Democrat IT guy.
Well, see, but that's in the remake. Like in the remake, yeah. Doug is like a little cuck bitch. I hate Doug.
Yeah, but he
in
gets
the remake.
I like what they. No, but see,
no, because he does that thing. He does that thing where he's a sniveling little bitch, and then he gets beaten or you know traumatized to the point where he should be beyond dead, but then he's got like the love for his child that pulls him through, and he does the things that you would never expect this character to do. No, I didn't believe for a second that Doug could do that. The other Doug, I was like, okay, that Doug parties, you know, he's like a fucking cool guy. He's not just some nerd.
That someone's socioeconomic conditioning may not be indicative of how they are in a situation like that. That happens frequently. Like,
what are you trying to say? You got to dumb that down for
what
me.
What I'm trying to say is you think he's a cock bitch and then somehow he turns into that. But the thing is, it shows who he really is.
There's another movie called...
It's the one with Dustin Hoffman, Straw Dogs, which I've talked to you about before. It's a great fucking movie by Sam Peckinpah. It's a home invasion movie in the early 70s. I almost wanted to do it here on the show, but it's almost horror enough. Anyway, though, he's a teacher, and it's a home invasion thing, and his wife gets raped, and et cetera, et cetera. Spoiler alerts, great fucking movie. And then once his wife gets raped, he turns into a primal fucking savage motherfucker, which he always was. It was just his environment never activated this. You get what I'm saying?
That's all well and good, but I don't buy that from that character. I buy it from the Doug in the original, but the Doug in the original didn't seem like as big of a bitch.
The Doug in the original seemed like, an aggro homosexual. And this guy seems like a bitchy heterosexual. And
I don't know that I even buy it.
Like
the Doug in the original reminded me of just like a dude in the 70s. He just kind of had shaggy long hair. He probably smoked a little bit of doobie, listened to Kiss maybe. But like this guy, you know, he fucking listens to Fleet Foxes, like you said. He listens.
Was like 2006, so he was probably listening to like fucking Arcade Fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of shit. But like the Polyphonic Spree, you know, like that's the shit.
Polyphonic Spree.
That's the shit he listens to.
Oh, hopefully no.
Or the darkness.
I don't, but hey, the darkness is good.
Get
your hands off of my woman, motherfucker. Get
your fucking good. That song said the wrong. Shit.
Love is only a feeling. Yeah,
that's episode 278.
Permission to Land is the fucking jam. That's a good record.
Ew. Yeah, get fucked.
Yeah,
I guess. Four Eyes.
I'm getting fucked hard.
Take that shit in the original or in the remake, Doug, and get the fuck out of here.
I think that it plays on, though, like, you know, the rural area. What happens in a rural area when the laws fall away and all that stuff? And people get animalistic pretty quick sometimes. So I think it's an extension of that trope.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I like I said, I agree. I like the brother in the...
Brother
in the original,
yeah,
better than the new one. But I thought it was more effective in the new one, the relationships, the dynamics they had between each other.
It was, and I bought that kid being able to handle a gun more than I did the son in the original.
Yeah. The mom was way too hot in the remake. And
you think?
Because I wanted her, when she's like, not my Bob in the original, I fucking thought that was like, so
Bob
funny.
On this dick.
Yeah, like that was great. When then the new one, it's just like, that's not my Bob. I'm like, oh, you're hot. You'll be okay. Yeah, I can't laugh at you.
When in the remake, when the gnarled face guy was all like, you real fat and juicy.
Give me that milk.
I'm like, yeah, she is. Like, yeah, the fucking milk in this one. I don't think they had that in the original.
No,
like,
they didn't. Dude, that moment where homeboy
drinks milk in the original.
Her teat?
Oh no, that's different.
That's some shit.
I was like, upon this viewing, I was like, holy fuck, like. Not only do they go from the rape, then to that, I was like, Jesus, they really go for it on this.
Did you guys watch the unrated version?
What's the difference?
This is like the most cut movie. I don't know if it was in Hollywood history, but it's like one of the most cut edited movies ever. And it's mostly just like more rape and violence that's cut out.
As you do.
Like that scene in the very beginning where he puts like a pickaxe?
Sure.
Through the guy's face. Like there's more of a shot, like a longer shot of the thing.
Oh, then I definitely watched the extended cut because he kind of like whips him around.
Yeah, a few times. Yeah. Like, and like he bangs him on the rock a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Because the unrated, like I was reading all the cuts and it's like most of it's just more violence. Like when the guy shoots himself with the shotgun, it's like an extra like three frames like before his head explodes, like or of the explosion. So that's pretty cool. But that breastfeeding part was unsettling.
It is unsettling as fuck, man, because I'm watching and I go, oh, that's, I mean, that's,
it was harder to watch than the actual rape.
Yeah.
Like, Because the but the rape too, like in the remake, was so much more like gritty, and like they stuck on it for a while. And when the guy kind of like sniffs his fingers after he puts it in, like, yeah, but
yeah,
the violence in this one was so good.
Yeah, dude, I think they took. I also enjoyed the moments where like they're like, well, we're gonna make it an action movie for a couple minutes, like, yeah, you know, buckle up. And I enjoy those things, even though the original is a much slower paced and more metered horror film.
I do like when
the remake dips into sort of like horror action. I'm into those scenes.
Well, partially the feel for that, I think, well, it's more modern, but it's the execution is extremely well done. That's something I wanted to mention. Like the guys, the, you know, the movement of the camera, the how kinetic it is, the editing. This Aja guy, you know what else he did?
He did High Tension, which I do not like.
I didn't see High Tension. He did Crawl.
He did Crawl.
And I fucking was much kinder to that film. And one of the reasons I was kinder to it was because I said it was technically accomplished. And it is. And it makes sense. When I saw this, I'm like, he knows his way around a fucking camera. He knows how to stage a scene. Yeah. He knows how to move. And it's not like Michael Bay where they're just like fucking going around him in 360 degrees for fucking 2 minutes. But yeah, I think he's pretty good with this shit.
Yeah. I agree, man.
I feel like you should watch High Tension and report back.
I think you guys should watch Crawl again and realize that it's the best
horror film. I was pretty favorable on Crawl.
Yeah, I think I was the one that didn't like Crawl.
You fucking were mean.
Yeah,
dude.
I don't like some of the shit that happened.
I was pissed.
Some of the shit that happened was dumb. How it happened was impressive, I thought.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You would.
I would.
Side note, did you watch Riccio? Because I heard you watched a bunch of shit you've seen already. But yet I let you borrow Riccio a DVD in the theater of another incredible movie.
Don't worry, I'm getting to a bunch of new shit. Because like
that's
I said,
not new.
I revisited
new at all.
Stuff that
new
for I haven't his brain, seen.
Bitch.
New for this fucking, for this dick. I haven't fucked it yet. What?
It hasn't
we ain't fucked
you
yet, bro. Exactly.
We ain't even had a date yet, dude.
Whoever's fucking who, we ain't done it.
No, it's fucking you. Riccio what? Does not get fucked.
What else did I want to ask about? You know what I liked? I know it's going to sound stupid to you, but the opening credits of the original, how it was just like the cliff tops and it was like, again, it was black against like a blue thing. Mm. That was tight.
Was it? I liked the credits of this one, of the remake actually, where it was like the little stock footage of the blast sites and, you know, like,
that was fucking great. Mm-hmm. The editing was a little like, 2006 is showing, but then it was what, like,
did it end with Kill Switch Engage?
Yeah.
Oh, but, I guess I gotta kill myself now.
Yeah. Oh, the second Bush's second term coming back. Here we go. But
it's the debates all over again. Fuck.
Oh, no. But it was a good opening sequence. It reminded me of, in a certain way, of the Dawn of the Dead remakes. Opening credits.
Well, we'll talk about that next
week. Which is going
to
be tight.
Hell yeah. I mean, I feel like the things that I liked more in the original, I liked the presentation. I liked how gritty it felt because it's shot in the 70s on actual film.
Yeah.
So I feel
you don't
like
get grittier than the 70s on film.
I feel like that really adds to the aesthetic. I liked the gas station attendant and his actions and motives more.
His
than
hijinks.
The
I loved how in the new one he blew his fucking head off and how graphic that was.
See, I loved all that stuff, but I loved that.
Actor, though, you mean in the original?
Well, in the original, I liked that he actually wasn't trying to help the hill people. He was telling the people, like, hey, like, move on, like, stay on the main road. But in this one, he's like, I'm done. I'm not going to do it. And then he's like, ooh, look, video cameras. Hey, go down this road right here. You know, like, so it's
well, yeah, and also because he thought, you know, they were gonna fucking sell him out because that chick had wandered in there looking for the dog and saw that shit he took.
Yeah, but I mean,
well, and also I mean the fucking the contrivance in the original where this like pretty good looking girl is like, how do I get out of this situation? Why, you just walk down the road.
Yeah, right.
You know, like I'm
hot.
Not
someone will pick you up. This is the
like
70s.
I'm not like, oh shucks, how is this good looking woman gonna get out of the situation where, and meanwhile in the remake that girl is actually gonna have trouble like fitting into normal society, as it were. And yeah. That's I'm like,
I don't fucking get it. You fuckers are normal looking. I don't understand. Yeah. What's the problem?
All of them except Michael Berryman. Like Michael Berryman, if he was walking down the street, people would probably, you know, take pause.
He looks like a Russian on fucking Crocodile. Sorry, bro.
Ooh, that's a movie we should watch, is Red Crocodile.
We should do some Crocodile.
You got some?
You guys want to do the one chip challenge? I want to do the one crocodile
one crocodile challenge.
You do the five crocodile challenge.
We should do crocodile and then go lift, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ.
Watch our fucking flesh rot off.
Hell yeah, dude. No pain, no gain.
How come there's no horror movie with a crocodile in it so far?
There is. Red Crocodile.
Oh, you're all motherfucker.
It's called I literally just
named it off, you dumb fuck.
Yeah, it's like an Unearthed Films, the same people who did like...
Red Dawn versus Red Crocodile.
Red Crocodile. All
right.
I watch Red Crocodile. I don't give a fuck.
Hunt for Red Crocodile.
Mm.
Hunt for Red Crocodile.
Red Crocodile.
Well, that's the Who Goes There podcast for
is it
the Hills Have Eyes? I think so. I mean, what you guys got anything else?
Do you want to do Crocodile? Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go.
Do it. Let me go get it.
Wait, Jorge. I need to get this.
I gotta get the crocodile.
Oh, okay. Stand by, audience. He's gonna get some crocodile. So, what other horror remakes do you think are favorable? Those are the three.
Fuck.
It gets tough after that.
Yeah. I mean, without talking about what we're doing next week.
Let Me In, I think, was good. I like Let the Right One In, and I like Let Me In.
I didn't like Let Me In.
No?
I didn't. I saw them both. I didn't like Let Me In. God, yeah, my brain is fucking hella dumb right now. I really liked the Maniac remake.
Ah, I see. That's one. You know what? I haven't seen either of those.
Yeah, that's... Ooh, really?
Yeah, that was... Maybe we could do this kind of thing.
I think we've done both Maniacs already.
Yeah.
We've definitely done at least one of them. And I think we might have discussed both. I don't remember if we did both in the same episode or if we only did the Elijah Wood one. But like, it's Elijah Wood in the Frank Rizzo role.
Isn't there a Pokemon?
Frank Rizzo? Frank Zito? Zito? I don't remember Frank something.
What other horror remakes are you fond of? He mentioned Maniac, which I've never seen either version.
So, not to spoil it, but I do like the Dawn of the Dead remake.
Okay.
That's real good.
Excluding those guys.
Let's see. What else do we have?
See, that's the thing, is it's putting me on the spot. My brain is just like, dude. I actually liked the It remake quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't a remake. That was a...
Well, it kind of, yeah, it was. Prequel. Look at Matt fucking furrowing his brow.
Prequel?
Oh, not It. I'm sorry. I thought you said The Thing.
No. Well, The Thing is a remake in and of itself.
The Thing is a remake. Yeah, but
from
like...
The Thing from Outer Space in the 50s.
Yeah. I understand. I understand.
Do you? Who goes there?
Yeah.
Or remakes.
You know what's pretty good?
Evil Dead is good.
Martyrs.
Evil Dead is good. The Crazies is also good.
Poltergeist, fantastic.
Suspiria is also good.
Suspiria was good. You just do the Google thing. Okay,
Lighthouse on the Left.
This is an infinitely better question.
I did do the Google thing.
Infinitely better question.
Why don't you S my D about it?
The worst horror remakes.
Black Christmas.
I'd say Black Christmas.
Black motherfucking Christmas.
Black motherfucking Christmas. Poltergeist.
Oh, yep. That was fucking awful. That made me mad. I'm pretty sure they remade The Exorcist like 4 times.
But they just did all the sequels.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake was not great.
Amityville Horror is pretty good. The Blob is also real good.
Yeah. I hear very bad things about Nightmare on Elm Street remake, but we'll see. Psycho was a...
House of Wax.
Psycho was a pile of shit.
That shit's a mistake.
House of Wax was awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think some people, I'm sure someone listening is like, Pet Cemetery, Child's Play. I don't think...
I liked the Child's Play remake.
So did I. And the more I look online, I guess that we're really... in the minority with a lot of that, but
really,
yeah, I was looking at stupid places though, like
Rotten Tomatoes.
No, not even Metacritic. Rotten Tomatoes has got pretty solid reviews and all that, but like fucking Facebook groups, you know what I'm saying? There's like the worst taste in anything, yeah. But yeah, I don't think the Pet Sematary remake is anywhere near as bad as like the Poltergeist remake.
No,
this is true.
That shit is fucking...
That's a mistake.
Yeah,
but so we're all in agreement that the remake of Hills Have Eyes is better than the original?
I think so. Absolutely. Yeah.
One of the best remakes I've ever seen for a horror genre. One of my favorite horror movies of that decade at this point.
Yeah.
Especially for slashery stuff. It's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
And it's in like the original. That's what I wanted to give props to the original. It's in broad daylight most of the time.
Yeah.
At night, it's at night, but that whole broad daylight thing, it's not just Halloween. Like Hills Have Eyes, out there in the middle of the fucking stark sunlight, just about to get fucking raped and fucking murdered anytime.
And then let's just film people running for 20 minutes. That's a good idea. Speaking
of running, you know what's funny about the original is when they decide to like walk, you know, and the dad and Doug split up, the dad in the original, they make mention that he had to quit because he had a heart attack. He had to quit his job at the forest because he had a heart attack. And then he's like, oh, don't worry, honey. The gas station is only 15 miles back. And he's going to walk this 15 miles totally fine. But once he gets to the gas station and the hillbillies come out, he runs 6 feet and his heart goes out on him.
That's because of the fear.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
But he can walk 15 miles. That's fine. Hey,
look, walking is a different story, brother.
And then in the remake, at least they dropped it to 5. And it's like, yeah, I believe Ted Levine could walk 5 miles, probably. Probably.
Probably. Yeah, man. That remake is it's a much more enjoyable film.
How many miles was it in the original?
15.
15,
that's,
dude.
That's a tough gig.
Yeah.
Especially for that fuck.
I mean, you could walk it, but it would still probably take you like 5 hours. And like that guy was overweight, he was old, and he had a bad heart.
Yeah, average walking speed is 3 to 4 miles an hour top. Yeah. Walking speed.
I'd say 3 miles, like most people.
Yeah, because if we're like, you know, if we were like a 5K is what? 3 miles.
3.1.
Yeah.
How's your 5K doing, dude?
I don't know.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know, but can you build a granny flat?
Didn't I don't know, but so. Can you lift a compressor, dude, with equal regularity every fucking day, dude?
I mean, he could help lift one.
I could.
Have you seen those arms?
I could.
I mean, but is it like practical muscles or is it just like
no, show his muscles? His stabilizer muscles are trash.
I fucking move shit. A lot.
I move shit a lot.
Have you seen me move shit? You've seen me move shit.
He's like, do you have a camera in my
dude,
toilet?
I move
like,
shit. I have problems. Hey,
look, I move the KitchenAid from one part of the kitchen to another with...
I move this dick.
I mean, that's enough.
That's what I'm saying. You moved yourself to the floor in the other room.
Damn, got him. All right, that's the Who Goes Your Podcast for episode 278.
That's a good stopping point.
We hope you've enjoyed your time with us today, tonight. This evening, this morning, on your commute. I don't know, dude. Does anybody drive anywhere anymore? I know I do all fucking day until I drive myself insane.
I'll tell you, the 54 is still a parking lot every day, so that's fun.
Yeah, cool. Bye, idiots. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Matt.
This is Rhett. Dawn of the Dead next week.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.